are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the show. Some of you are joining us for the very, very first time. I want to welcome you aboard. We're glad you're here, and I hope you enjoy the show, and I think you will. And I hope you come back time after time after time. Need to tell you that some of the music that you hear on tonight's show is provided by the independent artists over at GarageBand.com and some of the independent artists over at Music.Podshow.com. Great artists, great music. Go check it out. Big news coming out of NASA, or is it? NASA's reporting that they have found plumes of methane gas on Mars, and that this might, in fact, be a sign of geological or biological activity. Well, what was it, 3 years ago? 2 years, 3 years ago, the European Space Agency reported they found methane in the atmosphere on Mars. And, that got all kind of quiet. And they said then, well, it could be geological, except we know of no volcanoes that are active on Mars. And so this is probably an indicator of possible biological life. 2-3 years ago. Now, it's big news now because because NASA's decided to finally tell us about it. And one of the things that's not said here, let me read you this very quickly. It says that on Earth, living systems produce more than 90% of Earth's methane. And then it also says that the scientist involved here, Muma, says, quote, "The methane we detected is of unknown age. Its origin could be ancient or perhaps recent." No, it can't be ancient either, because it can be old, but not ancient. According to the stories that came out when the European Space Agency reported having found methane in the atmosphere on Mars, according to that, methane can last in the Martian atmosphere for a maximum of about 400 years. Maximum. Okay, so that's not ancient. So no, this can't be ancient. It is recent, geologically speaking, historically speaking. It's within the last 400 years. But what about this? They say this could indicate that there is some sort of life forms on Mars that are producing this methane. Yeah, it could indicate that. I'll tell you something else that could indicate that. The European Space Agency also found ammonia in the atmosphere. Now, methane can be produced it can come from geological things, but ammonia is a byproduct of the degradation, usually, of urine. Yeah, I know, it's not pleasant to think about, but that's the facts. And the facts are that ammonia can stay active and alive, if you will. It doesn't break down for a big maximum of 6 hours in the Martian atmosphere. So any ammonia that's up in the Martian atmosphere has been produced within 6 hours, and it's a byproduct, usually, of biology. All right, we will return. My guest this evening is Mark Felder. I think you're going to enjoy this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. A few weeks ago, we had Jerry Wills on, and a few months ago, he was on, he's been on several times, but a few months ago, he was on telling us about the doorway, or as some people refer to it, a kind of a stargate, a doorway. Now, I cannot pronounce the name of the place correctly. It's Aramuru or Amaru or something like that. I saw three different spellings for the thing on the internet. I just picked one and used it. But Jerry Wills took a group of people to this doorway fairly recently. And it's an ancient place. It is a place where the people, the local people that live there, say that strange things happen around this doorway, sometimes there are beings that come out of that doorway and go back into it. It is a big rock slab, so something is up with that. But Mark Felder, who is a contractor, he's a photographer, he's an artist, he's an explorer, was part of that group that went to the doorway with Jerry Wills, and he is here to talk with us about that tonight. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
First, let me ask this. How does a guy that's a contractor, a photographer, and an artist in the United States get interested in going to one of these ancient places like this doorway? What is it that attracted your attention?
Well, it was different. To be honest with you, it was something that you can't really do here in the States. And it's not everywhere you can go where you can find something like a portal that's functioning that you could go and mess around with. So when I heard about Jerry's tour down there, particularly going to that doorway, I figured this sounded just like it should have been perfect for me.
Have you, prior to this trip, had you been to South America previously?
I was down in Peru over a year ago. Went to the Amazon jungle for a week. And I also spent several days up at Marcahuasi, which is about 13,000 feet up in the Andes Mountains. I was camping up there with a guide.
And all right. Now, do you I'm just kind of getting a fix on you. Is this the ancient civilizations of South America? Is this something that's sort of a big interest to you, or did you just sort of happen up on this?
Well, it became an interest of mine several years ago, and the more I looked into it, the more fascinating it became, such as the old pyramids, the ruins that they have in South America, the temples, a lot of the things that all the different types of Indian tribes that were down there, or races of Indians, I should say, and the types of things that they were doing, building these massive pyramids and temples. So I just became rather fascinated with the whole thing. And eventually that led to me going down to South America, spending some time in the jungle, and also up there at Marcahuasi.
All right. When did this trip to the doorway take place?
It was this August.
Okay, so this is fairly recent.
Yeah.
Just a few months ago. What, 5 months, 6 months ago?
Yeah, that was in August, yeah.
Yeah, in August, okay. Had you heard about this doorway prior to going on this trip? Is it something that had already been introduced to you?
Yeah, actually, I had seen it and read about it quite often, and then I heard Jerry Wills talking about it and his experience there. So that kind of added to the things I knew about it. But then he made the, you know, on his website, he offers these tours that he gives.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went there, I saw that that was part of it. Actually, I saw that first, and then he was talking about his experience down there at that doorway. And that just kind of made it one of those things where I just had to go.
Well, I'll tell you, I have seen the video that was shot the night that you guys went to the doorway and where you went up to the doorway and tried activating it. And I'm going to let you tell that story. I've seen the video. I got a little preview of it. And I have to say that in the video, you seemed, you appeared to me to be a little surprised, maybe a little bit shaken when you came down from having been up at the doorway. And we'll talk about what happened at the doorway in a moment, but did it have that effect on you, or is that just a trick of the lighting?
Well, I probably was a little bit, I don't know if I was shaken as much as I was definitely, there's no way to prepare yourself for something like that. So, and it was rather mind-boggling.
So maybe the word surprised might be a little better than shaken.
And the reality of it all is that you're dealing with something that you just don't run into every day. Stone just doesn't move in everyday life.
Yeah, not normally, unless something's moving.
Oh, it doesn't. Usually it's solid and it doesn't budge. And,
right.
But the whole situation was rather surreal. To the point where it was disoriented. I was out of breath because we were at such a high elevation. I was probably quite nervous. I guess you were apprehensive, but not scared. But it was just, I didn't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm. All right, now take us to that night in August when you and a group of other people, a small group really, and Jerry Wills go up to this doorway at nighttime and sort of describe for us what happened in terms of, you know, what did Jerry tell you about what to expect and what did you have to do that night?
Well, we arrived there probably about an hour before dark. And that way we could get familiar with the area, do a little exploring, and then we wanted to make our plans on how we were going to approach this. We decided that when it got very dark out, for some reason this doorway becomes very active at night in the dark, and we didn't want to have any light on the doorway, so we weren't going to be using flashlights or anything like that. So we needed to be familiar with the area. This doorway has a ledge in front of it. And it's about 4 feet up. The ledge is very round, so when you get to the top of this ledge, it's rather narrow, oh, about a foot and a half wide. And then you've got your doorway right there that's cut into the face of that that mountain. And what we wanted to do is just basically get familiar with it. We're all going to be basically about 35, 40 feet away, so as we wouldn't interfere with the person who was at the doorway. And Jerry then just he gave us some instructions. First of all, he told us a little bit about his experience going through the doorway, because he of course had gone through it, but he got stuck on the way back and he had some difficulty getting out of it. So he explained to us how he managed to find his way back out through that doorway in case it happened to us. Then he gave us some instructions about the tones, and so we went over the tones several times to make sure we had that part right.
So this doorway is activated by making these tones, right?
Yes, there's three tones that you have to make, and when you make the third tone, or the first couple of tones seems to get the doorway activated, and that third tone seems to allow the doorway to open so you can pass into it.
All right. Now, Jerry gave also some instructions about the risk you were taking, right?
Yeah, because basically we didn't know. Nobody really knows much about this doorway. You don't know that if you go through it, are you actually going to be able to get back out? You don't know where you're going to end up. And the people that are on the outside of the doorway waiting have absolutely no way of knowing what's happening to the person if they're not there, if they do go through the doorway. So the risk was basically we could be going through this doorway and never come back. And we had to agree to hold Jerry or and our family so that they wouldn't hold Jerry responsible for anything that happened to us.
Yeah, you had to step up to the camera and state that you agreed that this was all your own responsibility, right?
That's right, yes. Jerry basically said that it was all our responsibility, and we had to agree to that so that, you know, he wouldn't be liable for it.
Now, did you, when all that happened, did you have any trepidation about this? I mean, any second thoughts where you said, well, maybe I don't need to do this?
Well, yes and no. Those thoughts are constantly running through the back of my mind. But on the other hand, I just kind of knew I was going to be okay. I knew that no matter what happened, I personally was going to be fine. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know that if I did go through the doorway, I'd actually be coming back. But I just didn't have that feeling that something horrible was going to happen to me. So I was very comfortable, enough so that I would actually go to the doorway and do it.
Have you read, prior to going on this trip, had you read very much about this doorway and what people were saying they saw?
Yeah. Yeah, I did, and there's all kinds of stories concerning this doorway about beings coming and going through it, people dressed in very old-type clothing, warrior-type clothes or whatever. Apparently a Roman soldier was seen walking out of the doorway one day. People have been known to go into the doorway and never come back out. People have been known to be basically sitting or playing around by the doorway, children or whatever, and they just vanished right into the doorway, and no one's ever seen them since.
One of the interesting stories about this doorway that the local people there tell, it's part of their lore, is that a long, long time ago there was a small group of musicians that were standing by the doorway playing some music, and they saw it open, and they went inside, and they never came back out. Since that time, the stories are that people very often, that people that do peer inside the doorway, that get to peer inside the doorway, often say they heard music in there. And so the lore is that it's those musicians. Now, that night when you and the group were at the doorway, was there anyone that backed out and said, I don't think I want to take this risk?
Well, basically, at first, it was only three of us that had definitely decided we were going to go through. And there was five of us traveling with Jerry and Kathy, and then we also had a guide that was with us that night. So out of the five of us, three of us were definitely going to go through, and the other two hadn't really made up their minds yet. So it's not as if somebody was backing out as much as they just hadn't decided they were going to go through with it.
Yeah. Okay, now, were you the first one to go up to the door?
I was.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
You were, okay.
Yes, I was.
All right.
Yeah, when the time came for us to finally approach the door and use it, we all asked who wanted to go first, and there was a little bit of silence, and I did want to go first, so I just volunteered to go, and nobody else wanted to be the first bad enough, so I just went up there and did it.
All right, now, you told us earlier that you guys didn't want to have any lights or anything on this doorway. What's the reason for that? Why no lights?
Well, for some reason, according to what Jerry was saying, if there's light on this doorway, it interferes with it and it doesn't work properly. The exact reason, we're not sure. But for some reason, light just stops the door from working or doesn't let it work as well.
Okay.
It seems to be far more active at night. One of the legends down there that's talked about a lot is that the doorway becomes very active at midnight. And I don't know why.
So, and what time was it when you actually walked up to the doorway?
Gosh, now that's a good question. We were up in the mountains, and it gets dark pretty early there. The elevation's at, I think, around 12,800 feet. And when it starts to get dark, it gets dark quickly, but I think we're there. I think we got there around 5 or 5:30, something like that, and I think around 6 or 6:30 is when it got pretty darn dark out. So I think it was somewhere approximately in that time that we started.
All right, so you walk up to the door. It's totally dark, I guess, except for whatever moonlight was out. Was it cloudy or clear night?
No moon. It was crystal clear skies and black, and all we had was starlight. And the stars, boy, were there stars out there. Never seen so many stars in my life. And I live out in an area where it's dark, and you can see the stars pretty good. But, man, were there stars that night.
All right, so you make your way up to the doorway. Describe for us what you do when you get to the doorway.
Well, the doorway is about 8 inches deep, cut into this rock, and at the bottom there's a ledge that you kneel on. You place your hands to the sides of your head, out about a foot or so. There's a divot right in the middle of this doorway into the stone. And you're supposed to place your forehead in there. And then you start chanting these tones.
All right. Now, does it matter which order you chant the tones in?
Yeah. They have to be chanted in a specific order.
All right. So you place your hands up on the doorway. You put your forehead into this little depression or notch that's in the stone. You start chanting the tones, and what is that supposed to do?
Well, the sound of your voice when you're chanting these tones resonates in that doorway. It's almost like being in a shower. You get that resonant sound.
Yeah.
So this doorway produces that resonant sound, not quite as good as when you're in the shower, but it's the vibration of your tone vibrating that sandstone, and for some reason, the sandstone becomes active. A lot of energy being released over here. One of the things that was occurring while we were there in the dark, you could feel this wave. It was a very powerful wave of energy that was pulsing out of that doorway. About once a second, it was this real strong, mellow pulse, and it would just kind of, it would push you. And I was wobbling a little bit with it. Every time that pulse came out, it would make you wobble. So this energy is just pouring out of that doorway, and it was really, really strong. So while I'm chanting these tones, and I'm trying to create these this resonance between my voice and the cavity that I'm creating with my body to that sandstone, and then you have to adjust your tone until you get just the right feel for it. In other words, where it's the loudest, you're getting the most vibration. Then you have to chant the second tone, do the same thing. And then you chant the third tone, doing the same thing. Meanwhile, all this energy is just rushing out of that doorway. It was rather awesome. It was almost like standing in an ocean surf.
Mm-hmm.
Your neck, where the waves would just kind of push you in and pull you out. Only not quite that extreme, but it had quite a bit of power to it.
All right, we have a break coming up here in just a few seconds. When we come back from the break, we'll get more into getting into this doorway. I understand that something quite amazing took place for you, and we'll get you to tell us that. But we have a break coming up in about 3 seconds here, so we'll wait till we come back. All right, folks, don't go away. More with Mark Felder right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Mark Felder. And Mark, we're talking about this doorway and your very amazing personal visit and your experience there. Let's talk about the doorway itself so that for just a moment. You have a little bit, but I want to go into a little bit more detail. And let's talk about the doorway itself and its construction a little bit so people can really sort of get a feel for this. Now, you said it's carved into the rock. So this, when we talk about a doorway, we're not talking about something that even looks like it can move, right?
Oh, no, it doesn't look like it can move at all. It's just solid sandstone. It's on a very sharp-faced of a mountain. There's a rock outcroppings here that go straight up, and this area had been cut very flat and very smooth, a couple of reverse pillars cut into the sides, and then in the very center down at the bottom was this strange-looking doorway. It's narrower at the bottom, then it flares out to the sides a little bit, about 5.5 feet high and about 4 feet wide.
Now, when we look at photographs of this, if we have a photograph that is taken from a distance, some distance away, you actually can see that on either side of this doorway, the place where you go and put your hands and put your forehead against the wall there, that's right in sort of the center. But then there is a sort of semi-rectangular area that has been cut into that part of the mountain, that part of the rock, on both sides of this, beyond those reverse pillars you're talking about. So this is obviously, it took a lot of, I'm going to say machining, and I don't mean with machines. Maybe it was, I don't know. But I mean, it took a lot of somebody cutting into a whole lot of rock to get this thing smoothed off like that.
Yes, it did.
All right. Now, what's the story about who built it? Are there any stories about who built this thing?
Well, the stories I've heard aren't real clear, and they vary so much that I don't know which one to pick from. One of the stories are that some gods had done it. And I guess that's the more popular one. That the ones that were using the doorway somehow had carved this into the rock, and the age of it is basically, it's unknown how old this thing is. So the legends just really don't cover that part too well.
All right. So it's nighttime. It's in August. It's nighttime, and you are with a group of about five people and Jerry.
There's eight people total there. Yeah.
Eight people total. And you are the first one to go up to the doorway to try to activate it. Now, what was your goal in trying to activate this doorway? Let's say that at that point you absolutely think it's going to activate. What's your goal?
Well, my goal basically was to go to another location in the universe.
Did you have a location picked?
Literally leave this planet and go to another location somewhere in the universe.
Now, did you believe at that point that it really was possible and that it really could happen?
Yeah. Yeah, if I didn't, I wouldn't have even attempted it.
Okay, so it was not just an experiment for you.
No, not at all. I mean, really, if you really had any serious doubts that this was possible, it would have been pointless going up there and doing it. we weren't doing this just for fun and giggles. This was rather serious.
Now, did you have a place picked out where you wanted to go?
Yeah, I did. It's actually kind of personal, and I'd rather not reveal it, but I did have a place picked out, yes.
Okay. Now, the reason I'm probing that a little bit is because from what I saw of the video, Jerry explained that you need to have in your mind a clear concept of where it is you want to go, because that if it activates, that's where you're headed. Whatever you have in your mind is where you're headed, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you walk up to the door, you put your hands out, you kneel down, you put your hands out on either side of the doorway. You put your head into that little depression that's in the doorway, and you begin to make the tones. And I asked you what happened, and you described that when you first got there and first started doing this, it felt almost like being in the ocean and having the waves pull on you and then pull you back into the and push you back in towards the shore and then pull on you outward and so forth. Did that surprise you?
Well, I kind of expected something, so it wasn't that surprising. That constant energy coming out of the doorway, you could feel that everywhere out there, even where the group was standing waiting 40 feet away. You could feel that energy, that particular one. But when I was in the doorway there, it was so intense, very, very powerful. You could tell that is where it was coming from. That was the source. So it wasn't as surprising as, you know, it wasn't a shock.
Mm-hmm.
I really hadn't been expecting it, but, you know, there it was. And I could feel it on my way up to the doorway. What was surprising is once I started making the tones.
What happened then?
Well, I made several trips up to this doorway, and each time was a totally different experience that night. But this is the first time I went up to it, and as I was making the tones, the rock that I had my hands on, that inner surface of the doorway, it started undulating. In other words, parts of it were coming out and going back in, like ripples. And at the same time, I started moving forward right through the rock and then back out, as if the rock was breathing, along with those waves of energy. About once a second or so, I would go in, and then I would come back out. I was moving approximately, it felt like about 3 feet or so, that I was going into the rock and then coming back out.
Now, when you say you were going in, you mean physically you were sort of like melding into that rock?
I was physically moving forward into that mountain, into the rock.
And could you see
what? Pretty hard to explain, but as I went forward into that rock, I could tell, I could sense that I was surrounded by rock all around me, the stone. Okay. Not that I was completely wrapped in it, but more like I was in a cavity, and that this entire cavity went way inside.
All right, so could you see around you in there?
Couldn't see a thing. The first time, I couldn't see anything. It's pitch black. You got to realize now, there isn't any light except starlight out there, and it was pitch black. And when that doorway was blacker than everything else around it, it was just this black hole that I was kneeling down into. So, no, the first time I didn't see a thing.
All right. And then what else did you experience on subsequent trips up to the doorway?
Okay, well, what happened was we all took turns going up to the doorway. A couple more people had decided to try it from the original three. And after we all had a turn at it, I went up a second time. That time, I was making the tones again. And all of a sudden, when I made that third tone, I just went way inside the rock. It felt like I went quite a distance. It seemed like about 20, 25 feet. I could sense that there was rock behind me, on my sides, above me, below me, and then it was just pitch black. I could barely breathe in there, too. There was just no air, literally. Inside that doorway, when you put your head in that doorway, there was no air, and it was strange because it's not blocked off, but you couldn't breathe. So I was very, very short on breath. And when I went way inside, I'm in this, it felt like a cavity, and I could barely breathe. And all of a sudden, I could see right in front of me. It was as if I had, wherever I looked, like spotlights were shining. And about 20 feet down and out in front of me, I could see statues.
Statues?
Yeah, these were life-size statues of warriors. They had spears, they had bows, they were dressed in, their dress is hard to describe, but it looks an awful lot like the types of clothes that the old Incas were wearing at the, 100 years ago or more.
Could you see their features?
Yes, it was crystal clear.
What were their features like? Did they appear to be Indian?
Yeah, they were all Indian. They all looked like the same type of Indian. They were all males that I could tell. But wherever I looked, that area was illuminated, and I was glancing around. It appeared to be a cavity or a cave that they were in, and this cave seemed to be anywhere from, it could be 60 to 80 feet across, side to side. They were about 20 feet below me. I was looking down, and they were all facing forward towards me, but not looking up at me. And as I looked back further into the cave, I could not see the end of it. It just kept going, but there were hundreds and hundreds of these people, these statues in there. And they were spaced about 2 feet apart, all in rows, nice, neat, orderly rows.
And you say they're life-sized?
Life-sized, yeah. They were covered with a brown dust. Everything out there is this really nice, rich, chocolate brown, the earth, the sandstone, the dirt. And these statues, they look like they're made of stone, but they were covered with a very thin layer. It looked like a thin layer of this dust on them.
Now,
I had this uniform brown color.
Did you hear anything while you were in there?
Didn't hear a thing. It was just deathly silent, nothing.
What do you make of this? Who do you think these statues represent?
I don't have a clue. I really don't know. I was just stunned to see them. I had seen statues similar to this as they dug them up in China, those terracotta warriors that they have.
Mm-hmm.
These were similar, but they weren't the same. And these weren't buried in dirt. They were just standing out there freely.
Did you see any kind of markings on the walls or anything like that? Any petroglyphs or anything?
No, I didn't see that at all. The only thing that was illuminated is exactly where I was looking. So as I glanced to the side, everything would kind of black out around it. But it looked like a cave, and it looked rather rough, like it was just kind of hewn out of the stone. It wasn't finished. So I didn't see anything like that.
And you didn't see any, skeletons or any human remains in there?
No, not at all. The only thing I saw was all these warriors.
All right. How long were you inside?
It seemed like I was there at least looking at these things. It felt like a good 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how long I was actually there, but it sure felt like 10 minutes.
All right, now, do you think that you physically were inside that cave, or do you think that you were sort of like given a mental picture of what was inside that cave?
Well, I had a lot of, it felt like I was physically inside that cave. Like I was on a ledge that kind of opened up and looked down into the cave. My body was there with me. It wasn't just a visual experience. I could feel the rock around me,
mm-hmm.
behind me, as if I was in a like a cubby hole back there, looking out. I was fully aware of my hands, my arms, my legs, everything, my clothing.
All right, we have to take a break, and when we come back from this break, I have a few more questions for you about this amazing experience at the doorway of, I don't know, Aramaru. Anyway. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the show. We're talking this evening to Mark Felder, and we're talking with him about his journey through the doorway. Now, Mark, before the break, I asked you if this was a physical experience or if perhaps you had been given a mental vision or a mental picture of this cave, and you said it all felt physical to you and that your body was in there with you. You were aware of your body being in there with you. When you were in there, did you have to think about, okay, it's time for me to leave now, or did it just happen?
It just happened. The next thing I knew, I was moving backwards through the stone. And all of a sudden, I was back in the opening of the doorway, just where I had started, in the kneeling position there with my head in that divot, and the experience had ended. I just kind of, it felt like I was on a trolley. I just moved right straight back, nice and quick and smooth and powerful, and boom, there I was outside the doorway.
All right, did you have any residual physical symptoms of having been through the doorway? Were you exhausted? Were you sweating? Were you, you know, any physical signs that perhaps you were under stress?
Well, first of all, I could barely breathe the entire time. So that was very stressful. Almost like you're suffocating, but not quite. And I felt very tired, exhausted when I came back out. Green and this energy from this doorway just pushing on you constantly, one push then another. All of it was quite disorienting. When I came out of that doorway, now it is just pitch black. It's ice cold outside, very, very cold. Temperatures are getting down close to freezing. And you can't see. And I'm woozy. This doorway was making me woozy. I had to come down off that rock ledge that's in front, which is rounded. Very tricky to come down when you can't see a thing. It's about 4 feet down. And then start walking back towards where the group was supposed to be. So I would imagine I looked like I was pretty much out of it when I came out of there. And plus the fact that it was just mind-boggling. Something had just happened to me that I'm trying to understand and contemplate, and things that just don't normally happen to me. The reality of passing through solid stone is just mind-boggling.
Is there any doubt in your mind whatsoever that you actually passed through that stone?
There's always that slight doubt that maybe I didn't, and it was completely a mental experience. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It had all the sensory input was 100% indicating that it was a real physical experience.
So do you think that inside that big rock where the doorway is, there is a cave? Or do you think that is in perhaps some other location?
I think it's in another location. It just seemed like it was right there. When I went through that rock, I really don't know where I was going. I don't know if I was where I was, really. So it could have been here, it could have been right there, or it could have been elsewhere. I got a feeling, for whatever reason, that it is not right there. I think it's somewhere else.
All right. Now, you had picked out some other place in the universe to go to. Why do you think you didn't go there?
I'm not sure, but one of my reservations I had made up in my mind is that if whatever reason I wasn't going to come back through that doorway to that same time and location, I did not want to go through in the first place. That was just in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that little safety valve built into my plan that if I'm not coming back. And it wasn't because it would be a disaster. Maybe I'd go somewhere I really, really liked and just didn't want to come back. And in fact, where I wanted to go was probably going to be one of those places where I really wouldn't want to come back here.
Okay.
I think, and that's why I didn't actually go to where I had wanted to go.
All right. Now, whenever you first started to sense that you were moving forward through this rock, did you have a sensation that the rock was like opening up like a door, or that you were just passing through it?
It was a combination of the two, but primarily the 80% of it felt as if the rock was just kind of yielding and opening up a small cavity for me. And yet there was this sensation of actually physically passing through something. You could feel the essence of the rock, the energy of the rock or the matter, and it felt like I was going right through it. I could feel the rock passing through me, in other words.
Was this right?
That was minor. That was about 20% of the sensation.
Was it frightening for you?
No, not at all.
All right, now, how long did it take from the time that you started feeling as though you were moving forward? How long do you think it took until you stopped and you were in this cavern?
Oh, maybe.
Okay, all right. Well, we will reestablish contact with Mark, and we'll see if perhaps we can get through the show without that happening too many more times. But let's see what we have here. Okay. All right. We are talking with Mark Felder. Mark Felder is one of the people that went in this group along with Jerry Wills down to Peru, and they went to, some people call it a stargate, some people call it a portal. It's the doorway of Aramuru, and that's I think its proper name. But then Jerry told us about going there and what happened to him, but then we have now some testimony from someone who went there, okay? Someone who actually experienced what it's like to activate this doorway. And let me check and see if Mark is back with us. Mark, are you with me?
I am. My phone just went dead while I was talking to you.
Not an unusual occurrence these days. We get help from time to time. All right. So, Mark, you say it took how long from the time you started moving till the time you arrived in the cave?
It seemed like about 15 seconds.
Uh-huh.
It was relatively quick.
What about the return trip when you came out of the cave?
That seemed to be approximately the same amount of time, about 15 seconds or so.
Okay. And you had no control over either going in or coming out. It just started happening on its own.
Yeah, well, I did trigger going in, you know, with the tones. I triggered that.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back out, however, it just happened. I didn't do anything that I'm aware of that caused me to come back.
Have you given any thought as to why that happened? Why did it just decide to send you back?
I don't know. I had taken a good look around, and I had pretty much seen what was all there to see, I guess. And then I guess after I'd just kind of taken in the entire sight, there wasn't more to see other than looking at the same thing over and over again, and that's when it ended. So it just might be that reason I had seen it all in that spot, and that viewpoint was over.
Do you think there is some conscious intelligence that's in charge of this gate, or is this some sort of natural phenomena? What do you think?
I can't help but think that somehow there is some kind of a consciousness that's set this all up and is, in a sense, guiding these experiences. I don't see it as haphazard, and I don't see it as being purely mechanical or just a matter of physics or whatever. I really think there's a lot more to it, and a consciousness is somehow involved here.
All right.
Something chose that spot for me.
Okay. Now, we have a break coming up at the top of the hour here. We've got a little bit less than a minute. Did you have a chance to talk with any of the others that came back when they came back from being up at the doorway?
Well, yeah, we all had more or less the person that came back was kind of debriefed. Kathy was videotaping them, and we were all asking questions. So in that sense, yeah, we all had a sense of what the other person went through, but it was only for a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Not a real good exchange of what a person saw. It takes longer to describe what happened than what actually, you know, than the amount of time it took for it to occur. So we kind of discussed it a little more later on.
All right. We have to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Mark, and then we'll open the telephone lines for you. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Mark Felder. Mark Felder is in business. He is a building contractor, general contractor. He is a photographer. He is an artist, and he is an explorer. As an explorer, he went to Peru to this doorway. And has been sharing with us his experience activating the doorway. Mark, just a quick question. Did you hear anything from the others when they were giving their little two-minute debriefing? Did you hear anything that surprised you at all?
Well, all their stories were surprising, I guess, because they're all quite different. So, yeah, they all gave some really interesting descriptions of what happened to them.
All right. Tell you what, we're going to open up the telephone line, and those who wish to call may call and ask a question or make a comment. I would hope that maybe some of your fellow adventurers and explorers perhaps might call in. But the telephone line is open, and those who wish to call, please feel free to do so. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. If you will, tell us your first name and from where you are calling.
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
All right, Don, hang on just a second, and let me turn your volume way up. All right, Don, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I have a comment and a question, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Mark. You were mentioning that after Kevin asked you if you were there in a physical sense, and you were kind of 90% sure, so, but, you know, you still felt like you could have been there in a spiritual sense. And I kind of relate to that. It's like an out-of-body experience. You feel at times you're there, actually physical, but then if you stop and think back on it, you say, not quite. I was there spiritually, but it almost felt physical. Was that pretty much how you felt?
Well, I've had out-of-body experience. I know exactly what they're like, and they are quite unique. And this wasn't an out-of-body experience. So I couldn't compare it to one of those. It looked like I was physically there in that location. It's just that my mind has a hard time accepting the fact that I was actually physically there. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Because all of a sudden, you're in a spot, everything seems to indicate that you are physically there. There was no reason for me to not seem like I wasn't physically there, except for the I'm trying to grip the reality of me actually having suddenly gone there.
So you could actually feel your physical presence you felt a material presence about yourself being there?
Yeah, because I was still in that kneeling position that I was when I was in the doorway, you know, when I was outside of it.
Okay.
Feeling that. I was
still
he's in contact with the stone. I was still cold. So I had all this physical input that you wouldn't get any other way other than being physically there.
Okay, Jerry mentioned, and then you mentioned, but we've never heard the actual chant tones. And I know you may not want to do this, but is it possible that you could do the chant tones to give us an idea what they sound like?
Well, not really, because I had to make a promise, we all did, that we wouldn't reveal these tones to anybody.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Gave my word. Otherwise, I probably would not have received them. Okay. And so I gave my word.
Okay.
I would tell you what they were, but I made the promise that I couldn't.
Good enough. Don, you have another question?
No, that's it, Kevin. Thanks.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. All right. The telephone line is open. We'll be glad to take your calls. And, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Gary from Nebraska.
Hi, Gary.
Nice to hear you again, Kevin.
It is nice and peaceful tonight, yes.
We love it. And a fine show tonight, by the way.
Interesting stuff, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I do have a couple of questions, short ones. I was wondering, regarding the tones, are they of such a level that anyone could intone them without difficulty?
I'm having just a little difficulty understanding. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, are these tones such that virtually anybody could intone them without much difficulty?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Okay.
Or anybody could do them.
Well, then the other thing that... Hello?
Yeah, we're waiting.
Okay. I was looking at the geology of the entrance, and it appears to have been drilled out at angles pretty much the same. Is that a natural feature, or did you explore that part at all?
You're talking about the doorway itself. Is it a natural feature? Is that what you're asking, Gary?
Yeah, is it? Well, the door, I don't know if that's a natural feature or not, but I was noticing that what appears to be drilled at an angle lines in the face of the stone.
I noticed that too. Yeah, I noticed that too. Gary, the doorway, the not just the place where you kneel, but the whole structure, there are some big lines that run through that thing. And, you know, at an angle. And it really almost looks like these are rocks that have been cut to fit and placed up there. But what do you think? Is this a natural formation where they've carved the doorway into it, or is the whole thing stacked up there?
Oh, no, those are natural stress marks in the sandstone where the sandstone is fractured. The doorway is carved into it, and it's not actually assembled one bit. Everything in there is carved. So there's no loose stones and no pieces put together.
Okay, so it's a natural formation, and then the doorway itself has been carved into that stone.
Correct. And those diagonal lines are just stress fractures following the lay of the land.
Okay.
All right. Got another question, Gary?
No, that'll do it for me, Kevin. Thanks a lot. This is a great show, and I'm glad you have the gentleman on tonight.
All right, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you have a question or a comment, just give us a call, and we'll let you talk with Mark Felder, all right? Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Rex from Miami.
Hi, Rex. A little easier to get in tonight, huh?
Yes. Hey, Mark, I was wondering, while each person took their turn up at the gateway, what did the observer see?
We could barely make out the person as they went up to the doorway. When they kneeled down to it, they pretty much were impossible to see because it was so black for them, and that doorway was so black. And again, we just had starlight. But we did observe at times the doorway had, it was glowing a bit. Sometimes it would glow red around the edges. Sometimes some of the people were, could see, I think, a blue light coming out of it. Sometimes spots of light you could be seen from it. One of the people who had gone through the doorway and came back, he had a pretty nice experience. I don't really want to relate his experience for him, but he was glowing red. Not real brilliant red, but he had this soft red glow that you could make out rather distinctly.
When he came down or while he was up there?
When he came back out. He had this really nice little mellow red glow to him.
That you could see with the naked eye.
Yeah.
Wow.
One of our people there was observing people with a little bit of a blue glow to them, and he could see the edges of the doorway were glowing quite often. They were illuminated with blue, but all this light was very subtle. But it because it was so dark, it was relatively easy to see.
Okay.
I was told the first time I went up there to the doorway. One of the people had walked a little ways away, and he said the whole doorway lit up. When I went up to it for the very first time, he could see the whole thing just illuminated.
Wow. Rex, do you have another question or comment?
Oh, yeah. No, it's fascinating. When you guys went up there, is this kind of an out-of-the-way area? Were you guys, like, all by yourselves, or were there any other groups of people paying attention to this doorway?
Well, this is in a very rural area in southern Peru. There's no real major cities in the area. There's a town that we came from, which is about, I think, 35, 40 kilometers away. But very close to this doorway, these are farm fields. This is a rock outcroppings, and then right alongside in front of it, outside are farm fields, and there's villages that live there. And so they were there. But we didn't have any crowds, and there were no other groups of people at the time while we were there.
So it didn't become a tourist attraction or anything?
Not yet. It is hard to do as far as you got to travel quite a ways to get to it. So in a sense, it's out of the way, but it's not difficult. It's not real far off a major highway. You can, in fact, see the doorway itself from the highway.
All right. Rex, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. All right, folks. Mark Felder, a man who has been through the doorway. All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Doug in Canada. How are you?
I am doing quite well, Doug. How are you doing?
Great, great. Mark Felder, nice to meet you or have you on Kevin Smith Show. It's a wonderful tribute to, and follow-up to Jerry Wills. Shows that he's done here. My question is, Mark, what do others see when, okay, if I'm going to be watching you do your chanting, first of all, let me just back up real quickly here. When you said that when you came back, you had felt disoriented and whatnot, and it sort of resembled to me like a hypnotic trance sensation that one feels when they come out of it, sort of like it's a really overwhelming feeling. But my observance. However, what do other people see when they're looking and watching you do this? Like, can you explain that? Because that would really totally freak me out if I saw someone like disappear like that.
Okay. Well, actually, he just explained that. But go ahead, Mark. What do other people see when you're doing the chanting?
Well, the only thing they were actually able to see was some lighting effects in the doorway, some glowing. Basically, that was about it. It was so dark. You got to understand the situation. We're out in the mountains at this very high elevation. It's a perfect clear night, no moon whatsoever, just starlight, and no flashlight or any other type of lighting whatsoever. So we're working with some unbelievably dim light, and that doorway opening is blacker than black. You can make out the face just barely. Everything was just barely there. So when a person went up into that doorway, they were just black with the doorway. You couldn't see them. So in that effect, we couldn't see what was actually happening to the person.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm worried that this is going to be, because you guys are coming out and talking about it more and more, you know what's going to happen. The government's going to go in there, they're going to seal this sucker up, and nobody's going to be able to use it. And that'll be a shame for humanity, I think. Anyway, Kevin, great show tonight. Keep up the great work. We'll be talking to you.
All right. Thank you so much for the call. All right. What about that? Do you think it's going to become quite a tourist attraction, and maybe that might cause the local government to come in and close it down?
I had thought about that, but I don't think it will. Reason being, I don't think most people believe what I'm saying is possible. So they don't take it seriously. The government would actually have to take that seriously before they...
Yeah. And oops. Well, and, you know, I complain about someone interfering with our phones, and then I accidentally pushed the wrong button. Sorry. Let's get him back on the phone. I'll tell you. I reached over to push the button to bring the caller off of hold, and the caller's still with me. Hang in there, caller, and we'll see if we can't get our guest back on the line. Mark, I apologize. I reached to bring the caller online off of hold, and I pushed the wrong button and made you go away. I'm sorry. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Gerald calling from Frisco, Texas.
Hi, Gerald. What's on your mind?
Well, Mark, you told us what you saw in Peru, and that's really interesting, but there's something that you can do on the radio that can't be done well in print. You could sing or hum the tones just as you did that night in Peru. Would you do that for us, please? Would you sing or hum the tones?
Well, I can't. I would like to, but I had made a promise to Jerry to never reveal these tones to anybody in exchange for the fact that he would reveal them to me.
Well, because I have a second question.
Work, and so I have to keep word.
Right. So you mentioned that the door opened and you were looking inside and you felt yourself being short of breath. Is it possible at that time, breathless wonder, that your heart paused for a little while?
I suppose that's a possibility. I hadn't actually thought of that.
Okay.
What was really strange is, this bone is only about 8 inches deep.
Right.
And when your head is outside of that doorway, you breathe okay. The air is thin, you're out of breath a little bit, but it isn't that bad. The minute I would put my head inside that doorway, I couldn't breathe. There was no air. You could try to inhale, and your lungs would not fill up. And I suppose that's one of the reasons why. But I actually hadn't thought of that.
Okay.
Can't rule it out,
though. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for the call. Interesting question. All right. Now, what I understand you to have said is that if you back up out of that doorway, you can breathe just fine. But when you move 8 inches forward into the doorway, then you have difficulty breathing.
Yeah, and the thing is, everybody that went to the doorway had that exact same experience with the... It wasn't just...
Yeah, your audio is cutting out. I don't know what's happened. All right, let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta calling.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
Oh, I can't complain. Nobody listens anyways. How about yourself, Kevin? You doing well tonight?
Outstanding.
Very good. Interesting guest. I was going to ask him if he had been to any of the other sites around Lake Titicaca and noticed any of the other doors that they mentioned.
I had been to a variety of places. We started out in La Paz, Bolivia, and went to several temples, a place called Tiahuanacu. I can't say it right either. We were there, and then another place right near there, which was Puno Puco. Puno Puco is an area that they're doing a lot of excavating of this temple that was there. There was a doorway fragments that they had put up and propped up with poles, and a big chunk was missing out of the top and one side, but this used to be an actual doorway, maybe 6 feet high at the most and about 2.5 feet wide into this solid slabs of stone. So what happened, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just wandering around, looking, taking photographs, and I placed my hands at the top half of both sides of the doorway, leaned forward just a little bit, closed my eyes just to kind of get a feel of the place. But what happened was my hands felt like they went right through that rock, and I almost fell on my face. That was a different doorway at a different place down here in Peru. I did that again. It startled me, so I couldn't believe what happened. I put my hands in the same place, closed my eyes, leaned forward, and it happened again immediately. There was another person with us in our group who was nearby, and I asked him to come over and put his hands up there and do the same thing I did. I didn't tell him what happened to me, and I said, you know, just kind of do that and tell me what happens. And he had the exact same experience. He said it felt like his hands went right through the stone.
I read today, and I'll throw this out for both of you because I don't know if maybe you are, either one of you are aware, but I read today that there are several of these ancient doorways, and that if you connect them, like connecting the dots, it makes a cross, and that the lines cross right over the doorway at Tiwanaku.
Yes, I just read that myself, and I found that very interesting. That's why I figured I'd ask about the other doorways in that area. What about other paranormal experiences? Any UFO sightings or orbs or anything while you were out there?
I did not see any UFOs. I was disappointed in that. And orbs, I didn't see any of those either.
Okay.
But
well,
I was definitely looking for the UFOs. I know this is a hot spot down there for them, and I never saw one.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. All right. It is reported to be somewhat of a hot spot for UFOs, and one of the things that people report seeing is they report seeing blue orbs. And so it's and also some silvery craft of some type. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ken calling from the Washington, D.C. area, a.k.a. The North Pole these days.
Yeah, here it is.
I'd like to be in Arizona.
Yeah. Ken, you want to hang on through this break?
Sure.
All right, just hang on. All right, folks, we'll be back. More with Mark Felder and your calls right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest, Mark Felder. We have a caller online, Ken from the D.C. area. Ken, Sorry we had to cut you off, but the floor is yours, sir.
No problem. By the way, Kevin, great show. Mark, it's an honor to have you on. It's absolutely fascinating. And all I can say is I'm glad that you made it back out of the cave and didn't end up some stone statuary on the inside for some other people to see in the future. But what I wanted to ask you is, did you ever have a chance to discuss, say, with Jerry or perhaps others, maybe some of the elders there in the village, any other portals outside, say, of Peru or even South America, perhaps in, I guess, the Iran or even in India, that area? Because when I look at some of those formations, and just today started reading up a little bit about some of the tribal rituals, specifically with the elders and the fire rituals, it sounds so familiar to some of the rituals held by, I don't know if you're familiar with, the Zoroastrians or the Zoroaster religion. This is B.C. we're talking about. But it's even some of the words and some of the gods sound very much like Peruvian names. And I was wondering whether Jerry had mentioned that or you're familiar with that at all.
Well, we discussed it a little bit, but not a whole lot. We do, all of us kind of felt that there are these type of doorways all over the planet. I know some other people outside that group that claim there's a doorway in Colorado. There's another one supposedly in Southern California. So, yeah, we think they're everywhere. Of course, then there's rumored to be portals in Egypt, for instance, near the Sphinx or the Great Pyramid, places like that. But we don't have any specific locations outside the country here.
You mentioned to Kevin that the statues were, some of them had attire or head, were, did you mention headwear or any type of headdress on, or were they wearing some other type of attire?
Are you asking me about the statues?
Yeah, how yeah, the statues, were they wearing so any type
there,
of headdress?
Was there any head covering? Were they wearing hats or helmets?
They had headbands on. And these bands were 4 or 5 inches high, pretty wide. They had some kind of patterns on the front, pretty much like the Native Indian patterns, those geometric ones that are like chevrons. They had
stickers
on there. And the tops of those headbands were stepped down. They were a little taller in the front, and they kind of stepped down towards the sides as they wrapped around the back of the head.
Okay, so you definitely had that, what you consider an Indian motif, and it wasn't Eastern, per se.
No, it was not. It definitely appeared to be a South American-type native motifs that they had on there. But they were rather interesting. They looked a lot like some of the motifs you see down there now.
Okay. Oh, all right. Ken, thank you for the call, man.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Great
All
show.
Right. Thank you. All right. If you have a question or comment for our guest, Mark Felder, please feel free to call in and ask him your question or make your comment. All right. Let's go back to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Puget Sound.
All right, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I had a question similar to what you asked earlier. I think you might have already answered it, but I was wondering how often this cave or whatever it's called is. I was wondering how often it's used. Is it very often used by other people besides you and Jerry?
Well, apparently, a lot of people use this area and for ceremonies or rituals, or they just kind of stop in and visit it. I don't know how many of those people are actually able to activate the doorway and go into it. But apparently it is enough of a spot where people go throughout the day, a few here, a few there. There's signs there where people do ceremonies or rituals.
Okay. Thanks for answering my question. Can I make one more announcement real quick?
What's it about?
Well, if we can get everybody in your audience to go over to the Citizens Briefing Book or visit Stephen Bassett's website.
Yeah, that's okay. Go ahead.
We're trying to get as many people to visit the what's called the Citizens Briefing Book, and we're trying to vote up the UFO disclosure topic to the very top. This site runs like Dig, which is people vote on the issues that are most important, and the issues that get the most votes are looked at and considered as soon as the new president takes office. So if you go to Stephen Bassett's, if everybody in your audience can go to Stephen Bassett's website at ParadigmResearchGroup.com and follow the instructions on there, we're trying to get as many people to vote it up to get the UFO disclosure to the very top. And that's all I wanted to say about that. And great show tonight. And thanks for doing such a good job for everybody.
All right. Thank you for the call. Yeah, that's a good cause. And I would encourage you, if you haven't done so, to go over to that website and make your opinion known there. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mary, and I'm from Houston, Texas.
Okay, Mary, speak up good and loud for us. You have such a soft voice.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
I can indeed.
Okay, I do want to state this while looking at the photo of the doorway. The stones above the doorway really does look like a figure laying on its back looking up.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I didn't notice that, but we can go take a look at it again. Let's see. Yeah, it kind of does. Looks like the arms are down at the side, and yeah. Sort of looks like a figure laying on its back looking up.
Mm-hmm. My question was, at the beginning of the show, he mentioned that the natives had seen aliens or supernatural beings coming in and out of the door. Do the natives have a clear description of what these beings or aliens look like?
What about that, Mark? What do the natives say about the people that come out of that doorway? What do they look like?
Well, I've only heard a little bit of description, so I can't tell you very clearly what, but the things I had heard were some of them appear to be giants, you know, 8 feet tall, 7 feet tall, long blonde hair.
Sort of like Jerry Wills?
Yeah, pretty much. and some of them appear to I don't know, they call them gods or beings or demons, you know. I've heard all different sayings, but that's the best I can do for you. I'm sorry, I don't have more.
Oh, okay, that was fine. But, you know, I was noticing the doorway, and my other question was, does it look like, or did the natives ever say that there were carvings above the doorway? And if so, were informations about it passed down or what? And I'll get your answer. I'll go ahead and hang up and I'll...
Okay, Mary. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right. What about that? Carvings above the doorway?
I've never heard of any. There's no visible signs that any carvings are there. And all the things I've ever heard or read about it, no indication that there were ever any carvings above the doorway.
All right.
There is one more thing about this doorway that I think you'd like to know.
All right, please do.
I was the last person that night to go and try to use the doorway. I went up there several times throughout the night. And on my last time up to that doorway, as I was doing the tones, my face sunk in about my head, about halfway into that rock. The rest of me pretty much stayed outside. And what I saw was this most amazing crystal. It looked like I was looking through a hole about 6 inches in diameter, cut right through the rock.
Uh-huh.
About 5 to 6 feet in, it was pitch black in there, was this brilliant crystal. It seemed to be about a foot, foot and a half in diameter, and it was illuminated from the inside with this most brilliant white light that was dancing all around inside of it. And this light, it didn't illuminate except for the facets of this crystal. And off the outside edges of this crystal was blue energy, like off a Tesla coil, sparks.
Uh-huh.
Sparks, but energy, you know, electrical.
Yeah, like static electricity, little lightnings.
Yeah, and it was radiating in all directions, dancing all around outside of that thing. It was just most amazing.
And you were not the only one to see that crystal. Others, someone else saw it in the group.
Yes, another person had seen it earlier in the group.
Yeah.
He saw this crystal. When I saw it, this crystal was the most amazing, brilliant thing. I was just mesmerized by it.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hi, Mike.
How are you tonight?
Outstanding, sir.
You know, this crystal reminds me of the thing of Enoch in the Bible, where he says he was taken up on the mountain and he went into this throne of God, and it had all this crystal and everything. And we wonder if we're talking about the same type of
Hmm. I don't know. You know, I have to say that's a story I'm not personally familiar with. I guess I've read it, but I can't recall it right now.
Sure.
What about that, Mark? Had you heard that?
I'm not familiar with that story either, but I don't know why it couldn't be pretty much the same type.
Okay.
Well, that would explain a lot about how maybe this travel is done, because you hear all throughout the Old Testament about the tabernacle and how all of the priests dressed, and it sounds like they had conductive gold and other things on their bodies, on their breastplates and things. So maybe we're dealing with the same phenomena all through history.
Could be. Mike, you have another question or a comment?
One more question.
All right.
It was said that a band supposedly was playing outside of the doorway, and then they disappeared. And occasionally people hear music. When you stuck your head in and your breath was sort of vacuumed away from you, did you hear any of that music?
No, I never heard a thing inside there. In fact, when my head was in there, it was incredibly quiet.
Okay, I appreciate that.
All right, Mike, before you hang up, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Are you the same Mike that is sort of taking over at IPUS for Dick Criswell?
Yes.
All right. You want to give us an update on Dick? We haven't heard.
Well, I talked to him day before yesterday, and since he's still recuperating, I don't like to keep him, you know, on the phone all the time. But he's doing better. He hopes that this coming week he's going to be up, moving around a lot more. And he hopes that once he gets up on his feet, he should be able to get home in about a month or that.
All right. You give him our best, and we have to take a break. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, thank you.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Mark Felder. We have a caller on the line, so let's go straight to the call. Caller, your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is Jerry. I'm calling from Phoenix.
All right, Jerry. Is this the Jerry we've been discussing?
Yeah, it's the same one.
All right. What's on your mind this evening?
I just wanted to say the show is absolutely fascinating, and to hear Mark's narrative about his experiences beyond what he and I have already spoken about during the trip, it's just compelling. I'm absolutely amazed. Some of the stuff, you know, he and I just didn't talk about. The the thing about, there are two things I wanted to just quickly throw in there. One of them, and hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing good, man. First of all, the figure above the doorway is a woman lying on her back.
Has that been carved, or is that natural?
It's not natural.
Okay.
When we climbed up on top of that in 2006, that's when we had camera failure, all kinds of electronics failure. We had tried to open the door in the daylight, and everything electronic started failing for us. And we climbed up on top, and that's where we also had time dilation. So it's a very unusual feature. It looks like a woman lying on her back. The doorway is named after Arulmuru, who was the king of the continent Mu. His wife was Aralamara, and it's supposed that this figure is his wife lying on the back looking up at the stars. Apparently that's one of the things she liked to do, is watch the stars at night. The other is the fellow that called from Kentucky about the crystal and the biblical references. I think you'll find this interesting. The crystal and biblical references, they all kind of migrate around with this kind of experience. And, yeah, I believe there's something to that. So I didn't really have a question. I just thought I'd call in and say what a fantastic show. It's absolutely, absolutely compelling. I'm having a great time listening. And, Mark, you're doing a great job, buddy.
Oh, thank you, Jerry.
All right. Now, Jerry, I've got to ask you a question about this crystal. You've been through the doorway yourself.
Yeah.
Did you see this crystal? Was that part of your experience through the doorway?
No, it wasn't. But you know, the other fellow, Ray, who went through the doorway and saw the crystal with Mark, the reason I brought it up is because Ray was emphatic that what he wanted to do is he wanted to go see God. He wanted to go to God. And that's what he saw.
Interesting. All right, Jerry, thanks. I don't think that it will hurt anything to just mention what we're working on, will it?
No, not at all, but right ahead.
Jerry, myself, and another individual who I don't have his permission to say his name, so I won't say it, but we're working on putting together a television series, and you will get to see this whole thing in that TV series, provided we're able to put this all together. And I have to tell you, I have seen this episode, and there you will see visually in this episode something happen at the doorway. That's all I can say.
Yeah, we were able to capture it on tape.
Yeah. All right, Jerry, thanks for the call.
Thank you, and thank you, Mark. You take care of yourself, buddy.
I will. Thank you, Jerry.
All righty, bye-bye.
All right, thanks much. We have time for one more call. If you want to call in, we have time for one more call, folks, and then we will have run up against a doorway called time. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, I had a quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are there any of these kind of gateways in the United States, kind of like from other Native Americans? Thanks.
Okay, thanks for the call. What about that? Here in the United States, do the Native Americans have any of these doorways?
Apparently, yeah. I've heard of two of them for sure. One is in Colorado, just north of Oklahoma, and another one is supposedly somewhere in Southern California.
I'll tell you something.
Both of them are on Native American land, on tribal land.
There is one south of Phoenix, south of Tucson, and there is a place where there is supposed to be a portal that people, and it's been reported in the newspapers years and years and years ago, where people actually could step through the doorway and be in a whole different time period. People would be dressed like another time period, and they could step back out of that doorway and be right back in their surroundings where they left. Now, that's reported in the newspapers from late 1800s, early 1900s here in Arizona. I have never seen it, but Jerry thinks he has located where that thing is supposed to be. That would be worth going and taking a look at, would it not?
Oh, absolutely. How could you not want to go and check that thing out?
If you...
There are a lot of them that are throughout this country, but they're probably protected by the Native Americans. In other words, you know, hidden. I think some of them have been lost due to certain tribes disappearing overnight, you know, like the Utes or down in Mesa Verde. So I think they're everywhere. I don't think you'd have a hard time finding them.
We'll have to hurry with this answer because we're almost out of time. If you had it to do again, if you had another opportunity to go and try going through the door, would you do it?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm hoping to go again this upcoming summer, and I wish to spend an entire week there attempting to go through the doorway.
What happens if you go and can't come back?
Well, what's wrong with that?
That's a fair enough answer. Okay. All right. Folks, Mark Felder, I appreciate you, Mark, for being with us on tonight's show and for sharing your story with us. It's been fascinating. I've never heard anything quite like this.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
All right. If you will, just stay on the line with me for a moment as we close the show. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, one of the things that we talk about here on the show, we talk about UFOs a lot, and we talk about futuristic science, and we have some of the top names in the country come and talk with us here on this show about really amazing advances that are happening in science. We're living in the beginning, actually, the beginning days of Star Trek and Star Wars type technology becoming a reality. And I know there are people that scoff at that, but it is happening. It is happening. Amazing propulsion systems are being developed for space travel. Unconventional. We're living at the beginning of a light speed trip into the future. You come and visit with us here at the Kevin Smith Show every night because we talk about all of those things. But here tonight we've talked about ancient technology that is a light speed trip across the universe. I hope you've enjoyed it. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.